what key it's in. I'm sorry.
I know. What's this? I was going
to ask anyway. Okay. Definitely work on that combination version you talked about.
I'm supposed to get you the notes, aren't I?
If you...
Is the live stream?
Is it on, Jenny?
Is it, you, was the camera's on? I guess the
I don't hear the... Is the... Yeah, the speaker on?
Well, let me check.
I can't see.
Anyone watching online, let us know if you're having trouble with the sound.
Sounds pretty good here.
Shall I check the microphone?
No, it's good. 125 in your hymn book. You'd like to turn there. Century. All hail the power.
Lord of all.
crucified and crowned him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
I'm looking forward to that day. Amen.
Amen.
All right, 2:10. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. 2:10. By the blood, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Great singing. Remind everybody watching online, prayer request, we've already got one or two at bbfohio@protonmail.com. If you're here, please get a prayer card and don't wait till the end. There's prayer cards and pencils. Anybody want one? Jenny would be glad to give you one. Raise your hand if you'd like one.
Okay. Job security. Pencils? Are everyone good?
I got one. I got a
Okay.
Hands up. You want one? Don't want one?
Get your Bibles. You want to have them ready. It's Luke chapter 9. And coming down to the end of it's a long chapter. But we're just taking our time and going verse by verse the way God wrote it. We'll be picking up in verse 49. And
what kind of polka?
We have to do all the work, guys. You want us to play it for you too? I mean, how many of you know why I played that song? Well, that's from the movie Groundhog Day, and Groundhog Day, isn't it coming up here pretty soon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's disturbing.
That's the next big holiday.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites. Groundhog will remember too.
We should have like a church movie night around then.
We should.
Like the Saturday or something, or Sunday.
We'll plan that. Keep your questions, comments to the end, please, as we go through our current events update.
Here we go.
Just a reminder, this got us kicked off local radio this week.
It did.
And we were given an ultimatum to stop preaching politics and to just stick to the Bible. I just want to remind you, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of every area of your life, you're backslidden.
Amen.
We don't preach partisan politics.
Amen.
We preach about the culture in light of the scripture.
Amen.
We preach, if a politician wants to murder babies, I'm going to rebuke that politician.
Amen.
If a political party wants to kill babies, I'm going to rebuke that political party.
Amen.
Yep.
And if the local Laodicean radio station doesn't like it, they can get over it and they'll face God. But that's what's wrong with America today. Preachers allowing radio stations and others to tell them not to preach the truth.
Right.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm very thankful for everybody who shows up.
Amen.
I'm thankful to have a crowd to preach to. I'm thankful for those online. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't care if everybody stopped listening.
Amen.
I'm here to please God the
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
And if other Christians are pleased, praise God for it. But what if I get down, and what if you get down to the point where it's just like Noah? Because Jesus said that's what it's going to become like. And in your little world, in your families, if your family's like my family, you get to feel a little bit like Noah.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's where we're heading. That's why we need each other.
Amen.
Fellowship and the camaraderie of the local church.
Amen.
But just pray about that. We're still in possibility of being on another radio station here locally, but if not, you know, we'll refocus our time, money, and efforts, and we'll still get the word out.
Yeah.
Speaking of reprobates, Joe Biden's first day as president cost America 52,000 jobs.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Why? Because he's in a religious political cult.
That's right.
That's why, as a pastor, I'm going to speak on it.
Amen.
It's a cult.
Amen.
And their faith in their evolutionary Darwinian model of life and death makes them worship the creation rather than the creator.
Yep.
And that's why they cut off the Keystone Pipeline.
Yep.
And that's why they're going to allow 12 million immigrants to become citizens, because they know they'll vote for their party.
Yep.
And that's why they're also going to end fracking.
Yep.
Because they're fracking crazy.
That's right.
Amen.
True, true.
OAN reported on this, and that's one of the few sources where you're going to get real news.
Yep.
CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, your local channels 4, 6, 10, and 28 are registered Democrats They are also a part of this liberal cult that is killing our country. Environmentally extreme communist policies killing U.S. energy independence.
Yeah.
The reason why I loved our president, Donald Trump, was because he wasn't a partisan. He belonged to the Republican Party, but the Republican elites hate him.
That's right. Yeah, I see it now.
And the reason they hate him is because his policies ended our dependence on foreign oil, which ended our need to go to useless wars where the Jeremys and the Nathans, and I don't know how old he is, but when he turns 18, well, you're not 18 yet, are you? So how old are you?
13.
So you might get out of this if Biden's defeated in 2024. But yeah. I'm telling you, that's what the people who voted for Joe Biden voted to send our young men into useless wars.
Yeah.
And it's because of this cult mentality. Mm-hmm. It's a religious political cult. It's not politics. Yeah. If you believe that, you're a fool. It Amen. Is spiritual. Yeah.
Amen.
And the American Christians in this country had better wake up. It's just like the Nazis in 1930. Through 38 or so.
Yeah.
And all the Christians who are being quiet and silent are what they call the good German, who enabled that to happen. So Biden killed the Keystone pipeline permit. And folks, this is going to hurt a lot of Canadians too.
Yeah.
A lot of Canadians are very upset about this. But sadly, they've elected the same kind of nut. Their Prime Minister Trudeau is a nut. And these nuts are going to lead us into war. Biden voters are hypocrites or just plain dumb. Why do I say that?
Or
yeah.
dead.
Or dead. That's a good point.
That's right.
But there's a point for me saying this. I don't just stand up here and just, you know, name call or whatever. There's substance to what I just said. They're hypocrites and or just plain dumb, because all of these guys, or almost all of them, use gas.
Yeah.
And if they really believe that we should shut down Keystone and stop fracking, they need to do the right thing and step outside their house and find their meter and turn it off. But they won't, because they're liars and hypocrites. Just like the ones who will vote for Biden who wants to take your guns away. They want to keep theirs. They want to take yours away. And a matter of fact, I think they'll try to tie it into you getting a vaccine or you being a Trump supporter. That's whether or not you can have a gun. That's right, because it's a cult.
Amen.
And of course, they'll use gas and complain when their bill goes up. And it's not just natural gas. The gas prices are going to go up. They're already up about 40 cents from what they were about 3 months ago.
Yep.
And it's going to go up to like $4 a gallon within a year, probably. Well, some have predicted $9 because they want to keep you from driving your car because they're in a religious political cult.
They want to keep you under house arrest.
And the COVID thing and all that. This is an amazing psalm here. Psalm 107:17 says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted."
Amen.
That's your country right now.
Amen.
America is a nation, a majority of this nation are fools, given over to their sin and iniquities, and because of that, they're afflicted. The Bible's an amazing book. It just explains everything. But the Christians who own radio stations don't want people to know these things.
Yep, that's right.
At the same time, rhinos are not to be outdone. Rhinos are Republicans in name only. They have a platform in that party, but most of the Republicans don't follow it. So we call them rhinos. This is our congressman, Steve Stivers. He's imitating the Antichrist. He's decided his role model is the beast. He has now said that he's opposed to the $1,400 stimulus checks, but would support them. He doesn't support him, but he would agree if the funds go only to Americans who take the vaccine.
Wow.
What a jerk.
Now, that vaccine isn't the mark, and Steve Stivers isn't the Antichrist, but he's getting warmed up. He evidently wants the job. You cannot buy, sell, or trade unless you take the mark. You can't get your stimulus check unless you have a vaccine. That's just the beginning. You won't be able to go into grocery stores. You won't be able to work unless you can prove you've been vaccinated. And it'll go on and on and on. That's what your Biden-voting friends and relatives voted for. Meanwhile, you see the Democrats, now that Joe Biden's president, they're now playing softball.
Oh, yeah.
They treat him like an old man in a nursing home. Joe, could you tell us what your first name is? Hold on just a second. Joe. Ooh, he answered a question. Isn't our president wonderful?
Oh, I'd give him a trophy.
This is from Babylon Bee, but sometimes truth is so close to, or fiction is so close to the truth. This is what the White House press corps are going to be wearing now to their press conferences. Biden cheerleading outfits, including the pom-poms. And I think I see Jim Acosta there with his skirt on in there somewhere. It's a cult. I'm telling you, I'm not going to stop saying that until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Now, some get upset when we mock America's pathetic excuse for news media. So let's be clear. We not only mock the fake news media, but those dumb enough to keep watching it.
Amen.
So be clear on that. We don't just mock our fake, pathetic Democrat Party propaganda news media machine. We mock anybody stupid enough to keep watching it.
Amen.
Shame on you. Wait a minute. I think I'm there. There you go. That's my attitude to anybody upset with us for telling the truth while our nation goes to hell.
Yeah.
Last week I said, well, bye. We're going to keep preaching the truth. We're going to keep serving and pleasing God. And if the Laodicean idiots want to get upset with us, then they can just get upset with us. All right, Johnny, you had something you wanted to
say? Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we should clarify, we're not mocking the people who are watching it, we're mocking the people who watch it and believe it.
Well, that's true, but most of the people watching it are just deceiving. I'm not going to qualify. I don't know anybody who doesn't watch that, that doesn't believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I know, because when I talk to them, they'll repeat the crap that they're being told.
Yeah.
So they can say they don't believe it, but if they're watching it, they're believing it. And they'll repeat the mantras and the spin and everything that you see on there. You know, what about people who watch pornography?
Well, I'm just watching it because I want to know what's going on.
Right.
I don't really enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
That's about as legitimate as somebody saying, well, I just watch the news because I want to know what's going on. You know, turn it on once in a while, you know, and catch the weather. But even the weather starts for the first few minutes, a lot of times, with propaganda.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't even watch the weather on those channels.
Like climate
change. Yeah, sports.
Evolution.
Half of the sports reporting this last year was anti-Trump propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on ESPN, they talk about the presidential race and everything. This is ESPN, entertainment and sports programming, not entertainment and stupid political, you know, nonsense. ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark's not here to hear that one, but that was a good one. So, you know what? I'm going to just tell you. Here's my attitude. It's been this way for a while. I'm going to say this way. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you keep coming back, you'll keep hearing it. Regardless,
amen.
I'm going to have a good time.
Amen.
And I'm having a good time rebuking the devil.
Amen.
And I'm having a good time rebuking the devil's crowd. I'm having a good time hacking off all the idiot professing Christians going along with this. I'm having a good time.
Amen.
And you should too.
Amen.
And don't get me started with all the examples in Scripture. John rebuking Herod for taking his brother's wife. Jesus calling him that old fox, telling him that what's going on. And telling Pilate, you don't have any power unless God the Father gives it to you.
Amen.
All through the Scripture, real Christians that Jesus be Lord of every area of their lives, including their politics.
Amen. Amen.
And if you don't, you're not right with God.
Yeah.
And I hope and pray you are. But right now you can change that. Right now you can say, God, I am so sorry for blocking you from this part of my life. I am so sorry for thinking I'm smarter than you. I'm so sorry for not supporting people standing up and speaking out. I'm so sorry for being the good German while these Nazis take over this country. I'm sorry, God, forgive me. That's what you ought to be praying right now.
Amen. Amen.
And if you do, He'll forgive you. All right, let's get in. This is just an introduction, by the way. But let's get into the study this morning. And by the way, the Sunday school was a good introduction to our study this morning as well.
Amen.
So ask Brother Charlie, would you open Bible study prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for all the good things that you bless us with. Thank you for letting us all ride through safely. We pray that you would restrain the evil in this country, and pray that you would allow the wicked to fall into the pits that they're digging.
Amen.
Amen. And deserve the righteous Lord. We know that if we stand for you, we will suffer persecution, and we pray that you would just give us strength, that you would help us, each person here, to prepare ourselves now by learning your word and hiding it in our hearts. And pray that you allow us to read and understand the word, and that you would bless Greg as he brings your word to us today. Pray that you would just guide and protect us, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, this is the title of the message, Understanding the Mission, Luke 9, 46 to 48. That's not right. This thing, I'm telling you, it changes on me. I save it and I go back later and it's right back. 49 through?
That's 19.
49 through 56. Make sure that's right. Know that somebody will see that later, and I'll get all kinds of email about it. So we're going to pick up verse 49, where we left off last week. We're going to read through 56, and I'm just going to ask you to read the even verses with me. So I'll begin verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So in our previous study, Jesus had taught on humility. In the verse 48, previous to what we started reading, said, For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. Some of these people with the biggest followings, the largest crowds, are going to see the rewards burn.
Amen.
Because they compromised basic principles to get those crowds.
Yeah.
The Bible says that people gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's the people with the itching ears.
Yeah.
That fake preacher couldn't make it if it weren't for all the fake pew sitters.
Amen.
Amen. Now he's confronted with a question of association. There in verse 49, John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. He's not one of us. Listen, you'll never hear me talk about people who aren't one of us in those terms as far as being a part of our crowd, physically being one of us. That's not what is important is whether someone is one of us having been born again,
Amen.
Having been saved. And so you have somebody who is out there preaching the gospel and they don't know us. They're not associated with us. Well, thank God for it. Mm-hmm. I am thankful to know that today, right now in this time zone, but in every time zone around this time, in that time zone, around 10, 11, 12, in every time zone, there are literally at least hundreds, if not thousands, of preachers who are proclaiming the word of God.
Amen.
Now, there are tens of thousands who are false, but in the mixed with all the true ones, we're thankful for that.
Amen.
What was the title you picked for this again?
Understanding the Mission.
Okay.
So, it is our mission, or is the question.
Is it our mission?
Is it our mission to regulate other ministries?
Well, no.
No, it's not. The only time, I'll be honest with you, the only time I spend much time on other ministries is if I see it affecting our people.
Amen.
I include the onliners, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever somebody's out there preaching nonsense and their effect, I see the effect, or at least they're troubling people or whatever. And a lot of times it's had to do with, you know, Jesus is going to come back on October 21st or whatever, you know. And so I've done sermons or messages, studies showing that just anytime someone picks a date, ignore them.
Amen.
You're not going to know the day or the hour. What do you think? God's a liar? So why do you pick up a book that even claims to have such knowledge? And I'll tell you one more. I've taught it several times over the years. It's just true. The Jewish feasts are for Israel, not the church. Anybody claiming to date the rapture based on the feast of Israel is a false teacher.
That's right.
Those feasts don't belong to you. Yeah. If you're a saved member of the body of Christ, they belong to anybody in the previous dispensation of law, and they'll be in effect again during the 70th week after the rapture. And after the rapture, it doesn't start until that covenant, which includes the feasts, is confirmed between the Antichrist, Israel, and the world. Mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. We see our study on it. We lay it all out there for you. And people are constantly falling into these scams and fads because they won't study the scripture and learn these things to put up a defense. Listen, if you want to get to save yourself and your loved ones from being sucked into all these false movements and these fads and everything, learn the truth.
Amen.
Don't wait for something to happen and then say, oh, I'm going to learn how. I mean, God bail you out a lot of times like that, but it's the rough way to go and it doesn't always work out. The way to do is now learn. But when I see someone out there preaching the gospel, let's say he believes in speaking in tongues. And when his church gets together, everybody just says, and there's no, you know, order, and it's not one or two at a time with the interpreter, and they throw all the rules out the window, and they just run around. I wouldn't go to that church. But can you imagine? I mean, that's all I'd ever get done, is to come up here and inform you of all the people who are out on that limb, you know. And I believe there's saved people there.
Mm-hmm.
There's many saved people there. Is there any other Bible-believing church, most likely? But I don't want anything to do with that. But I'm thankful. You remember Jimmy Swagger?
Yeah, yeah, amen.
And who are some of the other guys through the years? David Wilkerson.
Yeah.
John Hagee. Yeah. I mean, he's got a couple of really bad errors in his theology, like the dual covenant for the Jews is terrible. But you know what? These guys preach the gospel. I've heard them.
Yeah.
Billy Graham. We've warned, now he's deceased and gone to be with the Lord. I believe he was saved. But he, in his ministry, he did some terrible things. Sent people who came forward in his crusades, and he'd send them back to apostate churches and
yeah.
even the Catholic Church. Yeah. That doesn't even preach the true gospel.
Right, that's right.
So what What are we supposed to do? When he came to town, and when there were a couple of times where it was influencing people here, so I made a one-hour documentary laying all the historical information and scripture out so you could understand. Don't follow him.
Amen.
Unless he's teaching something that's biblical.
Amen.
See? That's how simple Amen. It is. So Billy Graham wasn't God. He's not infallible. And anybody who gets upset when I rebuke Billy Graham, they are an idolater.
Yep. Amen.
Because our authority isn't Billy, isn't Greg, isn't you,
yep.
isn't your mother, your grandmother, or anybody else on this earth. Our authority is the Word of God.
Amen.
When they're right, they're right. When they're wrong, they're wrong.
Amen.
And it's not our mission. I don't have a pamphlet on every preacher in the world and telling you what's good and bad about it. So here's Jesus' answer. When they said this, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. Jesus says in verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses go to the door. I tell them, you're preaching a false gospel and a false Jesus, and you're going to answer to God for it. The Mormons come to my door. You preach a false Jesus and a false gospel, you're going to answer to God for it.
Yeah.
But I've said the same thing to Roman Catholics. I've said the same thing to apostate Protestants.
Amen.
I've said the same thing to agnostics, atheists, Muslims. One time I told about giving blood, and the fellow taking my blood was Muslim, and he started the discussion, thank God. I didn't even have to start it. He started discussion on what I was reading. And here I'm a Bible-believing Christian talking to a Muslim, and I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita's from Buddhist writings.
Man.
So he's like, what are you reading there? I told him, whoa, are you a Buddhist? No, I'm a Christian. What are you reading that for? Oh, I like to know what other people believe so I can talk to them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so he kept talking. Finally, I said, you know, your religion doesn't have a sacrifice. Your religion doesn't have a Savior. Muhammad himself admitted he couldn't forgive your sins. And you are basing you're basing your idea that you might go to heaven on your own works. Well, Jesus said, because they claimed to believe Jesus was a prophet, Isa. I said, Jesus said that your works can't save you.
Amen.
Jesus said you had to believe on him. And Jesus made it clear, and so did the Apostle Paul, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. How do you know when you've done enough? How many works can you do and know you're going to go to heaven? And what court can you go into and say, well, I know I raped this girl and killed her husband and stole everything and burned their house down, etc. But look at all the good I did. What court would they even care? And yet that's what these people, Muslim, Buddhist, agnostics even will tell you. Well, if there is a God, I think my good will outweigh my bad and all this stuff. There's not a court in the world that is going to listen to that defense.
Amen.
You're done.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's right.
So that's why, you know, we will tackle and take on those who preach that false gospel.
Amen.
But if anybody preaches the biblical gospel, even if they're wrong on other things, we thank God for them. As Jesus said, that's who he's talking about here. He's not talking about false religion, but he's saying, you know what? If they're preaching about me and they've got the power of God, then who are we to stand in their way? Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. He's basically saying, focus. Focus. Get off the other stuff and focus. See, we believe in freedom of conscience. I am a Baptist by doctrinal heritage. We don't belong to a denomination.
Amen.
But we are Baptist in the sense of what the historic meaning of a Baptist is.
Amen.
Most evangelicals eventually adopted the Baptist idea of the separation of church and state. It's not the separation of the church from the state. It is a separation of those powers, meaning there's no state church. We don't want the Episcopal Church to be the state church. We don't want the Catholic Church to be the state church. We don't want the Presbyterian denomination or the Southern Baptist denomination or any denomination. That's all that means. We believe that what you believe and the religion you practice is between you and God, not the state.
Amen.
And you certainly shouldn't have to pay taxes, which then go to fund that denomination, which is what happens in a state church setup. See, that's what we believe. I preach the gospel. People say, you're a hater. Yeah. You know, I don't hate anybody. I'm just telling them the truth like the sign says. We love them enough to tell them the truth. I was telling Jerry that this morning. We made that our motto. Because a lot of Christians think if you love people, you never hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
And Jesus, you're echoing exactly what Jeremy said. Jesus has hurt people's feelings. So did he do it on purpose? Well, kind of. I mean, he didn't say, you're ugly. You know, he didn't say that. But he purposely stuck it to them when it comes to their false religion. He purposely went like that, right, spiritually. Got to be clear on it, you know. He didn't punch anybody. But he did turn over some money tables and get out the whip.
Amen.
Amen. So what do? If you love somebody, you tell them the truth.
Amen.
But they're still free to reject what you're saying. We don't believe in any kind of coercion.
Amen.
So Jesus is speaking specifically of the outside world domain here. He says, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. They were talking about something going on out in the world. I just have to clarify this. He's not saying that you should have this attitude in your own home. And he's not telling us to have that attitude in our local church. See, there's three domains you have to think of whenever the Bible speaks. And this is related to what we heard in Sunday school, Brother John taught this morning. I told him he didn't realize it, but he taught a real good primer for our study today.
Amen.
The first is your home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a man and you're married, that's not just, yeah, I'm the man. It's a responsibility.
Amen.
It's a duty. If you're a woman and you're, for whatever reason, not married, whether it's just you or you have children, whatever the situation, you have to step up to be the man role in that home. But if you get married, the male is to be the head of the home.
Amen.
And that male, or if you're a woman in that situation, until you do, or unless you do get married, you have to fulfill that role. You shouldn't just let anybody come in your home and preach whatever they want to.
Amen. No.
And you should be careful about the stuff you put on your TV and the stuff you put on your radio, the stuff on the headphones, whatever. That home, you have a responsibility. As I told our kids, if I ever heard them playing something, you know, or I heard something on, I didn't think it was appropriate, I tell them, you're free to watch or listen to that after you move out. But in my home, you're not bringing the filth in. And, you know, I got a taste of that when I was a kid. I wasn't saved until I was 19. When I was a teenager, I tried to listen to some of that, you know, AC/DC. And sometimes I'd have the headphones on, and all they'd hear is me squealing. Yeah, I am it. You know, like I'm singing along. And Mom would be down there yelling. I couldn't hear. So she'd come upstairs, you know, what? They didn't ever knowingly allow me to listen to that filth. And that's because that's their job.
Amen.
The home. But I don't go to your home.
I'd like to let the Yobos know I'll be there tomorrow at 7 p.m. for inspection.
We'll bring the cats.
Yeah, that's your defense. They got a defense set up to keep me out. Cats are my kryptonite. But even if they didn't have cats, I would not go to their house looking around. What is that? Because I got news for you. You come to my house, you're going to see some things in my house you're going to think is improper in a pastor's home. Yeah. Why do you have Karl Marx on your bookshelf? And Ryan? What's... Or Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand. I always get that name mixed up. It's weird. And I've got books that, you know, I have Darwin's Origin of Species and
Amen.
Other books
Amen.
That are obviously not teaching the truth.
Sure.
But I've read those just like Paul read the pagan writings so that I can converse with them. But
Amen.
Don't do it unless you're going to have an Acts 17:11, 1 John 4:1 attitude.
Amen.
Everything Charles Darwin said was subject to the Word of God when it speaks to it.
Uh-huh.
And science, real science, when the Bible doesn't speak directly to it.
Yep.
And that's why I'm not a Darwinian, even though I've read his book. I've read part of the other one, part of his other main one, The Descent of Man, I think it's called.
Mm. Yep.
So, but in your home, if your child has been assigned to read a book, and it's not like pornography. But back when my kids were growing up, Harry Potter was the thing.
Yeah.
And if a teacher assigned Harry Potter, you can do one of two things. You can ask the teacher to let them read something else if you feel that strongly about it, or you can read it with them.
And pull out your Bible.
That means you'd have to turn off the boob tube. And read it with them and say, that right there. Yeah, you know, point it out. You'll have more intelligent children if you do that. But if you're lazy and you don't want to do it, just have them read Mickey Mouse or something else. You know, actually, Mickey Mouse is not a good idea these days.
Yeah, really, sadly.
The second domain is the local church. The local church, right here. These four walls are not. These aren't. This isn't the church.
Amen.
Look around. The people. See the people around you.
Amen.
You're looking at the church.
Amen.
Amen.
And so among us, whether we're in this or we're in the cave, we call it, downstairs, the basement, or we're at somebody's house, or we're out somewhere, doesn't matter where we are the church, and so as a pastor, but actually to one another, we're not that big judgmental, looking for something to pick on. But if there's something that happens, you see it, and it's wrong, or you hear something, somebody say something, yeah, my friend and I are going to go to a seance next week. You know, it's spiritual. You say, you do know that's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. And maybe you say, we ought to go talk to the pastor. And we can sit down with the Bible and I can show you why you shouldn't be trying to conjure up the dead.
Amen.
I don't take it for granted everybody knows that. I've met Christians who think playing with the Ouija board is the same as Monopoly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to church that teach the Bible, and if you don't read your Bible, you'll be clueless. So that's another domain where, yes, we're very careful about what we allow in here. We've had a movie night once in a while, but we don't show, you know, something that's promoting bad things or, you know, oh, hold on, there's a sex scene, let's just fast forward through, you know, nothing like that. But we do, we've watched documentaries and Christian movies that have a good message to it, but we're not going to bring in stuff outside of that. But then there's the outside world. That's where we preach the truth, but we just then we let God deal with it.
Amen.
We used to have a mug we give out with a guy, you know, he's holding up the gospel tracts, he's all muscular and everything like me. And he says, preach to them all and let God sort them out.
Amen.
Tim Gogol wrote made the character. I think a mug I still have it here or at home. Preach to them all. And let God sort them out.
Yeah.
You know, that really sums up your mission in life. Amen. To the outside world. Preach to them all. If they choose not to accept it, that's between them and God.
Amen.
Don't get your feelings hurt. It's not your gospel they're rejecting. It's not you they're rejecting. It's Jesus and his gospel.
That's right.
So the Apostle Paul echoes Jesus' teaching over in Philippians. Turn over there. Philippians chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. I've had people with good intentions over the years try to get me involved in things that are like militias and stuff. They hear me preach, and I'm going back and listen. I've never called on Christians to try to like get it together and this, you know. Let's overthrow it. You know, nothing like that. All we do is tell you what's going on based on the scripture, how to understand the times. But people get real caught up in this stuff. And that's the attitude that John was, you know, bring down fire from heaven and destroy them all. Now, there's been times where I've prayed, Lord, you know, if you want to kill them all, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's his will. Thy will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what if you see somebody or hear somebody preaching and they're not a part of your church? Not they don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the millennium. You know, they use the NIV. They use, you know, you got some real errors in their lives. What do you do? I'm going to tackle them. I'm going to take their Bible away, that fake Bible, and I'm going to burn it. And then I'm going to put duct tape on their mouth and stand on top of them and preach.
Sounds like a plan.
No. Look at Paul. He's in prison. And he's talking about people who, while he's in prison, have found a new boldness to preach. There's an opening, you know.
Yeah.
That's the, well, verse 16. Look what he says. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Think of that. He's talking about somebody who's not even really preaching sincerely. They're preaching Christ, but it's of contention. Verse 17. But the other of love. Somebody really loves the Lord and really wants to see souls saved. Knowing that I, referring to Paul, am set for the defense of the gospel. Look what he says in verse 18, read that. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I've heard people say they were saved at the Billy Graham Crusade. I've heard people say they were saved watching Jimmy Swaggart on TV. Yep. I've heard people say, the one lady told me she was saved watching Joyce Meyer. And, you know, I think all those have their problems, especially Joyce. But you know what? I thank God that for whatever reason on that day she presented the gospel and somebody got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, God could use Balaam's ass.
Yeah.
That's right.
He can use anybody.
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Yeah.
Now, if they're a Christian and they're open to it, you might show them some of the errors of those people and help them to get on a straight path to keep them from making shipwreck. But thank God they're saved. So back to our text then, verse 51, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus has been setting these guys straight because it's about to go time. See? Says, when the time was come that he should be received up. That's in Acts chapter 1. What happened before he was received up? He's crucified, buried, risen. Spends 40 days teaching. Then he's received up. I think the reason this is Gregology here. But I think the reason it's worded that way is because that's an example of how we face these things. You know, we could get all caught up in the mark of the beast and the world order being set up and all the persecution we might face and all this stuff. But you know what? The Bible says when you see these things come to pass, look up.
Amen.
So don't get so overwhelmed by what's going on that you lose sight of the fact that this is all setting the stage for us to go up.
Amen.
Just like Jesus. He's about to be whipped and tortured and mocked, nailed to a cross, die for the sins of the world. But what's on his mind? That he should be received up.
Amen.
He's ready to go home too.
Amen.
So if you're longing to go home, don't feel guilty. Stay the course. But it's actually, if you have the Spirit of God in you, it's like GPS pointing you home.
Amen.
You're going to stay. You got to stay here. You're going to stay focused. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to fight the good fight. But all the while you're saying, I'm ready to go home now. I'm ready to go home, Lord. You know, you have your two-way radio is prayer. And so you're like the guy out on the, you know, fighting. You know, hey, you can send that copper anytime now. That's you. You're fighting the good fight, but the whole time you're saying, Lord, come quickly.
Amen.
I'm ready to go home, Lord. And that's the attitude Jesus has. And he's saying, though, it's about time for the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. That's when he goes up.
Amen.
The date was set, by the way. We don't have time to go in depth, but I want you to get this if you haven't got it already. The date was set with the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel. This isn't just guesswork on anybody's case. God laid it out way beforehand, and if people had known their Bible, they would have known exactly the year, at least. And they would have known, basically, because of the Passover prophecy, they would have known when he was going to die.
Amen.
But people didn't know their Bible.
Right.
We have charts online. You go to bbfohio.com, click on resources and charts, and you'll find these in PDF. You can download them. And we show you that Artaxerxes gave the command to rebuild the city, the temple, and the walls in Nisan 14, 45 B.C. That was the beginning of the 70-week countdown. But you go to Daniel 9, 24 to 27, it says that after 69 weeks, Messiah is cut off. All you had to do is count from the time that Artaxerxes gave that order. You read about it in Nehemiah chapter 2. Start the countdown and you'd know that Messiah would be on earth sometime. You knew he had to be a full-grown adult. They weren't going to crucify a five-year-old Messiah. So you know that 483 years after 445 B.C. And then you add an adult life of at least, we'll say 25 to 40 years would be the expectation. But then you would know exactly when he was going to die, no matter how old he was, by simply counting down 483 years. Folks, I believe that's why the wise men showed up when the star directed them to the baby. They were expecting something. The Bible said a star will rise.
Amen.
In the Old Testament. And the Old Testament told you what year he would be crucified, so they had to be watching, thinking he's got to be coming soon. And there's the star. The Bible is so clear on a lot of these things. So much there that people are ignorant of.
Amen.
All of us would be ignorant if we don't study it. So if you follow the chart, you come down to the life of Christ, and that's where Jesus is. Right there where it says dispensation of the gospel of grace in the little yellow box, that's where we are. What we're reading right now is right before that box in the green. It's coming right down to the end of the 69th week.
Amen.
And the end of the 69th week of years, which is 483, Jesus is saying that. The Bible is telling us that right now. When the time was come that he should be received up, the 483 years is about up.
Amen.
If you look at the dispensation of the law, comes down to the death of Christ is 30 to 32 A.D. Our calendars are off enough that we have some debate on it. I've come to actually, I need to edit that because I've come to the conclusion it's probably 30, most likely. But that's where we are on the text right here. We're coming down to the end where Messiah, after 483 years, from the time of the Artaxerxes, decree to rebuild Jerusalem. You think about that. God had put that right in his book. The leaders didn't know the word. The people didn't care enough. People could go to the synagogue and read the Bible. They didn't care enough to do that.
Yeah.
They didn't know their own book. So the last says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's where I believe we get the term dead set. He was literally dead set on going to Jerusalem to die to save us. Do you know that's a fulfillment of prophecy? Look over in Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6. And verse 7, 6 and 7, sets the context here so you know they're talking about Jesus. Verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. There's the beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. We'll come to that at the end of the Gospel of Luke. Look at verse 7, read it with me. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. That is being fulfilled right here in Luke 9.
Amen.
Set my face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. So back to our text, verses 52. Verses 52 and 53. Give me a second to open my... And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Why? Well, because the Samaritans and the Jews in Israel were basically enemies.
Yep.
They hated each other.
Right.
The Samaritans worship at Bethel, and they see the city of Jerusalem as enemy territory. And they knew then that Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And anybody, the information we have was, if anybody was traveling through Samaria and it was known they would go to Jerusalem, they faced a beating.
Wow.
They'd just attack them. Yeah, so they had to go around. Make the trip longer. It's like, to get to campus, and you're leaving from Worthington, and the people in Clintonville are waiting on you. You're not going to campus. So you got to jump on 270. It's about the same thing. And this rivalry is worse than the Ohio State and Michigan rivalry, by the way. But it gives you an idea, because some people get really hot about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And some people were mad at me because I didn't say that state up north.
Yeah, just now. It was a bit disturbing.
Yeah, and you go on campus on the week they canceled this year, but you go in the week of the game, and all the M's have X's over top of them.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
Great. Yeah. So that week, I'm Greg Iller. So now verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, here we go, look at this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And that's not the wrong attitude, except it's the wrong time. Yeah. See? You have to do things God's way in God's time.
Amen.
If you want to be a part of the fire and brimstone response from Jesus, make sure you're saved, then you go to heaven in the rapture or when you die, and then you get to come back on a white horse, and Jesus comes back at the end of the Great Tribulation period and kills them all.
Amen.
See? So the attitude, the problem with the attitude is timing. Remember, we're going to see later, Peter, when they're arresting Jesus, has a sword. Why? Because Jesus had told him to buy one. Luke 22:36, Jesus said, buy a sword.
Amen.
What he didn't want Peter to do is get in the way of his crucifixion.
Yep.
So Peter cuts the ear off the soldier, and Jesus stops the thing right there and puts the ear back on the soldier, because he can do that.
Yeah.
And there's no insurrection.
Amen.
Amen. But the news media that day claimed the Christians were trying to overthrow Caesar, and there was a big brouhaha.
Yeah.
So this is a bit comical, but also sad at the same time, because, you know, it's like, why do I say comical? All right, you all may be too holy to admit this, but I'll admit you, there's times where I'd love to have seen the fire and brimstone. I mean, when the Sodomites hold their pride parades, it was like, you know, just like a napalm kind of thing coming out of heaven just to wipe the whole thing out.
Yep,
these are just some of my favorite things.
Yep.
You say, that's terrible. No, it ain't. Just wrong timing.
Yep.
That's why I'm not God.
Amen.
Because God's going to do that.
Yeah.
He's just not going to do it on their day.
Yep.
He's going to do it on his day.
Amen.
It's in his timing. And you wonder why we were kicked off radio.
Yeah.
But this is about as ridiculous as Christians calling for armed revolution today. There are some, by the way. They've been calling for it since Bill Clinton was elected in my lifetime. And, you know, we should just tell, you know. And that's just not our calling. That's not our mission. Your day's coming. Do you want to be a part of a government that's even better than anything the MAGA could come up with?
Amen.
Where Jesus is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And every time someone like Jim Acosta opens his mouth, Jesus is going to go.
Amen.
The Bible says so. There'll be no lies that are even allowed in the kingdom.
Yeah.
There'll be no liars allowed into the kingdom. And if anybody has the stupidity in them to try to rebel at any time, they immediately are killed and thrown in the lake of fire.
Amen.
I like that. That's my kind of world. Why? Because I'm going to be glorified and I'm not going to rebel. I'm not going to have to worry about it because of what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
It's not me. It's what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
And then at the end of that 1,000 years, mankind, you talk about the power of the human spirit. They're going to show how stupid they are. And at the end of the millennium, rebel against the King of Kings. And once again, he kills them all. Throws them in the lake of fire. And then we commence with eternity where it's all people who love the Lord, who are saved, glorified, and we're free of all that nonsense.
Amen.
But not now. You start trying to take matters in your own hands now, you're going to... Well, Jesus... in another place, I don't have the note here, but Jesus says... this is what he says to Peter when Peter cuts off the ear of the soldier. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. This isn't the time for the sword. A sword is, you have a sword, and it's for self-defense, defend your family, defend your home, fine. But nothing as far as aggressive war to try to take over the government and all that, just not the time. And if you want to do things your way, I hate that song, by the way, that I think they sent Trump up. I did it my way. You know, that's the dumbest way to go. Don't do things your way, do it. I think somebody parried it one time, but I've always said I'd like to sing. I did it God's way. That's the way to sing it.
Amen.
That's the only way to do it. So it's actually just the wrong dispensation, see. The fire and brimstone's coming at the end of the 70th week of Daniel at the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we come to verse 55, and how does Jesus respond? He gives a big speech and rallies the troops, and they go, well, charge! You know, no, this is not Braveheart. This is the Gospel of Luke. And verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. So the mission as the 69th week ends is salvation, not devastation.
Amen.
And the mission, as we wait for the rapture in the beginning of the 70th week, is salvation.
Amen.
Not devastation. And that's why I urge anybody with the urge to start getting violent. Not the time. You'll pay for it.
Amen.
Wait on God. We have another chart out there, the 7 biblical dispensations. And as we get closer and closer to the end, more and more Christians are rejecting this plain, simple layout format of the. This is the infrastructure of the Bible.
Amen.
And if you recognize the dispensations, then you recognize what day you live in and how to then respond, how to live.
Amen.
And again, get that off of our website and study that. We've got Bible studies on chart. So devastation comes at the end of the 70th week, not the end of the 69th week. So we close there in verse 56. Read that with me. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save.
And they went to another village.
I love that.
Amen.
He says, you know, we're not here to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then what do? They get back to business.
Amen.
Get busy. And that is the mission until the second coming, actually.
Amen.
Because when you read in the book of Revelation, after the confirmation of the covenant, there are those who fight the Antichrist militarily, but that's not the Christians. There is going to be a small number around the world who aren't Christians who are going to fight militarily. But the Christians, or the believers, as we put them, they're not in the church, the body of Christ, but they're believers, include Revelation 7, the 144,000. Then there's from every tribe, tongue, and nation, there are other believers. There are the two witnesses, though, who give them a taste of this, because they're able to call down fire from heaven when anybody messes with them for a short time. Then even they lose their heads and are killed, and then they're resurrected. I believe they lose their heads, other people, because it says they behead those who don't have the mark. The Bible doesn't explicitly say that, but isn't that neat to think about? Those two witnesses lose their heads, they lie in the streets for 3 days, and then when they raise again, they go, okay. And the world's like, take some more of that. The Bible's an amazing book. So that's how Jesus will leave us at the end of the Gospels. In Mark 16:15, he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't do that by yourself.
Amen.
You need help. I can't do that by myself. I need help. So what do? We work together.
Amen.
If everybody in this room would just give out 10 gospel tracts a week,
amen,
do the math. And in 1 year, tens of thousands of people would have been given gospel tracts.
Amen. If,
now listen, though, everybody here, don't worry about the guy next to you. Don't worry about her. This is about you. If you do your part.
Amen.
But that's the problem we've always had in Christianity, Christian history. Only about 10% of the people practice their faith.
Yeah.
You say, I practice my faith. Not if you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
You want to be a practicing Christian? Preach the gospel. And I just throw this out there real quick as we close. Get a cup of coffee. Whoever gives you that coffee, give them a tract with a tip.
Amen.
Go to the restaurant. They come and serve you. You pay the bill. If you give a tip, give a tract.
Amen.
If you don't give a tip, you're a tightwad. They won't want anything from you.
Yep.
So they won't read that tract. If you go through the drive-thru, if you have somebody come to your house. I try every time we have somebody come and work on something in the house or whatever. When they leave, we offer them coffee and tea. They're not supposed to take tips or anything, but I always try to make sure they get a gospel tract before they go.
Amen.
And if they're able to, we'll talk to them while they're working. Sometimes they're under the house or something. But what do you do? You can do that. You have friends and relatives, neighbors who aren't saved. Just this Christmas time, a bunch of Christians totally blew it this year. They could have sent Christmas cards to everybody on their address list and put a gospel tract in there.
Amen.
That's just one example. And put your energy into that like you do your favorite other thing. And you'll find ways to practice your faith, practice your religion, preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing about it in 231 in a hymn book. Mm. 231 in your hymn book. One last point as our musicians come forward. We are not called to arms for Christ, but we are armed with the spiritual warfare. We are armed with the whole armor of God to call lost sinners to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Paying attention?
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
We are not called to arms for Christ in the sense of overthrowing governments. We are armed to call lost sinners to Christ.
Amen.
Just be patient. Just be patient. God's timing. He'll take care of these people. He'll take care of this. But in the meantime, you may be called upon to even suffer for the Lord. Question you have to ask yourself right now, am I willing? Have I presented my body as a living sacrifice unto God to do with as He wills? In the meantime, this is what it's all about. Like I said, don't get so overwhelmed with all this stuff going on that you forget the big picture. If you're saved, this song should be a great encouragement to you. This morning, let's sing at page 231. Jesus, let's have everybody stand as we sing.
The news to every land. Climb the sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above.
God's people say, I am saved,
I am saved.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's say goodbye to the folks online. After we remind them to send their prayer requests to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And those of you here, get your prayer cards in. On count of three, one, two, three. See you here,
there, or in the air.
Wonderful to have everybody online today.